So thanks to the power of Facebook, we put out a request that we needed ways to bury the cattle. And Scott Tilley, who was in my sister Megan's class as a pastor in Buckland, and he had somebody through his church connections from Cimarron that brought two dozers. And they came, and they spent 10 days on the ranch helping bury cattle. My brother-in-law, Brett, brought up one from their feed yard. The DeMoose from Ford brought one of theirs down. And I'm trying to think who else. Somebody from out west came and buried one group. But we spent probably, I would say, around 10 days burying animals. We'd get them grouped in piles. The Brown brothers from Ford spent so many hours on the four-wheelers eating dirt in horrible wind looking for animals for us. One day that was kind of a bright spot was Shelley Colbeck, their sister, was one of my good friends in high school. We, since we have families now, we don't see each other often. And she came and spent a day just riding around with me.
Good.
And that was just little things like that that people did brightened our days in ways that they will never understand.
Yep. So did you have any pasture left? Or was it just wheat fields?
We had nothing left but wheat. We did have one small blessing, very big blessing. All of our hay burned, but a pile of hay that we had at our grow yard.
Yes, honey. They are going to make me turkey and I go.
Yes, you can, if that's okay with Uncle Brett.
How long is it going to be?
I'll be there at 6:30. Yeah.
So, we talked about dozers.
Yeah, where was and I? Then your friend Kobach came.
Yes.
And we were talking about pastures. Did you have any pastures?
What left? We had left. So at the end of the day, or when we woke up on September 7th, we had lost...
On March 7th?
On March 7th.
Hmm.
Oh. Yep. We lost three homes, a hay shed, a shop, a couple outbuildings at my dad's house, some corral, different sets of corralled wooden corrals, our office, the barn at the Young Brothers place. I think that was it. But there was one house in the middle of the ranch, the one I'm staying in, that was left, and our grow yard. And we think the reason those didn't burn was there was a wheat field behind it. There was grass surrounding it, but enough wheat fields behind it that it kind of lessened the heat, maybe, and gave it a little bit more protection. But the fire burned right up to the sacks of hay at our grow yard, but didn't burn them.
Didn't burn them. So what about fence? Did you have to replace a lot of fence?
We did. All our fence was burned. We think we lost over 100 miles of fence.
So what did you do with the cattle you had left?
Got them to wheat pasture. And the next day, Jeff Levering from Protection brought his fencing crew and started putting up fence so that we could just keep cattle in. Just tacking up fence that we could to keep things where we could get to them.
Contained.
Yeah.
So did you get any of the hay that came in
we
the
did.
Area?
We had so much hay that came in from all over the United States. Katie was on the phone, I would say 10 hours a day, constantly with people calling, wanting to bring things. We had so much hay that came, fencing supplies that came, clothing. Jill Dixon spent all of the next week was her spring break. So the week of the fire and the whole following week for her spring break, she would bring friends down with her to help, and she sat in the basement of the house I'm staying at sorting clothes. And every night she would have these neat little boxes packed of with the correct sizes for each of our families for us to take home. And that's pretty amazing.
Yep. So you didn't have a lot of problem replacing clothing and shoes?
No.
Were shoes harder?
No, we all had good shoes on that day, so we didn't. The night of the fire, some friends from Buckland brought out enough clothes that we had pajamas that night. And, I mean, they brought a ton of clothes, so we could have gotten more of it. we washed all our clothes we had on that night and put them on the next day, and I wore the same thing for a few days.
Yeah.
Just, it fit, and I knew it did, so.
Yeah.
But no, clothing, toys for our kids. Within the next few weeks after the fire, one evening we were done for the day, sitting in the yard, and Chris Zemp calls and says, Jenny, there's some people here that I'd like to bring out to meet you. And I said, well, we're home. So all this, 30 minutes later, this big truck and trailer pulls in the yard and backs in towards the house. And these people get out and just start unloading toys. And there were kids with them. They unloaded bikes, enough bikes for all the kids.
Oh, wow.
And boxes of toys. And what was very special out of that was my kids had a lot of Happy Toy Maker toys, mm-hmm. Branch toys. And this kid brought up his Happy Toy Maker semi and gave it to the kids with some of the animals. I'm trying to think. Another day, Eva Gardner called and said, we have a friend from Texas that has some food we'd like to bring out. I said, okay. This man's church had bought 5 deep freezes. They filled them with homemade meals. Each meal had a word of encouragement on it.
Good.
A note from them saying they were praying for us or some scripture. And he brought them up and delivered them to different families. So they brought one to us. And we are still kind of conserving and hoarding the ones with messages on them. And brought it on a day when we had finally said, we can't take any more food. We have no place else to put it.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't really have to come to town and eat like at the school or go to the camp or anything like that.
People brought food for days and days. They organized some meals, and I was outside all the time, so I'm not sure where it all came from. I know some of the people that brought it, but
so who took care of inside? What, your mom or
my mom and my aunts? Right away, family came home. My dad has 5 sisters, and they were all there. Cousins that came. The cousins somewhat spread out over the next few weeks, but the girls stayed for probably 10 days and then came back again a few weeks later. Because we were feeding, I would say, at least 30 to 40 people a day. And so...
Where'd you do that at?
At that house we were staying in.
At your house? It was kind of the house that you were in?
Central Station. And so as cowboys came and helped with work cattle and people were there helping with fencing and things, we tried to feed as many people as we could, mm-hmm. and I don't know that we ever had to go anywhere to get anything but maybe ice, because there was just so much that had been given.
So when did you start doing interviews?
I think probably within a few days of the fire, people started calling. And
did you do most of them live, or did you do them over the phone? Or
both.
Both?
Most of the people came out and wanted to take pictures and see what
so
it
would they
like.
Take pictures of?
The landscape.
Was it still black? What, did you have ash?
We did. We had tons of ash. I remember one day, I think it was the Tuesday a week later, the wind started blowing, and it was blowing so bad we had to quit working. Like, you couldn't see to drive.
Right.
It was so bad.
So did it calm down a little bit when it started raining?
It did. As soon as it started raining, things got better. I remember the first rain was after the kids were back in school, so it would have been 3 or 4 weeks later. Mm-hmm. I went to meet the bus because I wasn't sure if it would make it down the road, because just water ran everywhere. There was nothing to catch it. A very good lesson in
erosion
and conservation. But I remember Peyton got off the bus, got in my car, and said, Mom, are we going to have to put in water gaps tomorrow?
Maybe.
If we had any water gaps left, I'm sure that's what we'd be doing.
What did it smell like after the fire when you were up in the pastures?
I remember an ashy smell.
Did it change every day?
I don't remember that.
It did. What's your most vivid memory of the fire?
Probably of it coming into my mom's yard. Because when we left there, I just did not think I would see the home I grew up in again.
Yep. So you've lived out in the country all of your life,
mm-hmm.
and you've known wildfires before or controlled burns. Is there any comparison from what you've known in the past to
Nothing
this one?
Nothing can compare to this one. We had a burn plan in place, and we were going to burn in 2016, and that's when the Anderson Creek fire happened. And we decided that we just couldn't risk a runaway fire. We were prepared again this year to do it, and we'd been working with a biologist, or I'm not sure, a professional to do the burn plan, and he said it would take at least 10 years to burn off our ranch in different stages with the plan, and we burn off in less than 2 hours. And we have not found a live cedar tree yet.
Really?
We had a really good kill on cedars.
Cool. So you won't have to do a burn plan for a while, maybe.
Hopefully.
Yes. So, how would you describe your emotional response to the fire now, since you've had a chance to kind of think about it and stuff?
I would say it's less emotional. I still get teary-eyed, but I can compose myself better than I could 6 months ago.
Hard.
But it's still when you think, yesterday we did an interview with a lady from Farm Journal, and when Katie was being interviewed, talking about what she saw in the field and the animals that came in front of her, and just knowing what was going through her heart that day, that's hard to hear.
So, did you see a lot of wildlife too?
We did. There was dead deer everywhere.
Everywhere. And any other animals? Coyotes?
Coons, or? Coyotes. I think I did not see this, but my mom and dad both saw a cow, a calf, and a coyote huddled together. They were dead, but they'd huddled together during the storm and or during the fire. And that was a really hard image. The horses. We lost all the horses at my dad's, and one of them survived enough to make it into the pens. And those were some tough images and tough things to see.
So were you able to save any of the cattle that got burned?
Some of them. We just preg checked this week, and there's still a few in each group that have some burns, like on their hips and things. But for the most part, probably the second wave of heartbreak was 10 days later when the vet came out and would go through the cattle again, and ones that hooves got too hot, they were going to lose their hooves. They could look perfectly healthy and be just fine, but we still had to either put them down or sell them because they were going to lose their hooves. And then for the next probably 2 months, ones with two badly burned udders, we would have to watch for that and keep making pulls.
Yeah. So, what do you miss most?
My grandma's stuff.
Yeah. That you can't get back. Yeah. Who are some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful?
By and far, Ashland Veterinary Clinic, Wildlife and Parks, our church. Agency-wise, that's kind of all that was out there that I remember. Bill Brown from the state veterinarian, he spent a day on our ranch, an afternoon helping look for animals with his brother and nephews.
Did you find animals in weird places or did they have strange stories?
Our first calf heifers were up by my dad's house, so they would have been, or Salva dad's house. The majority of them were calved out, and we lost the majority of them in that pasture. But I found one pair, and I know it was them because of the tag numbers. Roughly 2 miles south of there, under the Bluff Creek Bridge, west of the feed yard. I have pictures of it, and how they made it through that many fences that far south. I mean, they didn't make it, but that was crazy.
So you have both a physical and a financial toll from this fire, more financial than physical, or?
I would say more physical, the things you can't get back. financially, we're young and we will, this is where we live and this is where we'll rebuild. But
so have you taken advantage of like the Community Foundation and the KLA that had
We did, and we were
forms that you could fill out.
So grateful for that. The yes, we applied for the Community Foundation, the KLA grant, and then Farm Bureau also had a Young Farmer and Rancher one.
They were pretty massive in the amount of donations that came to those organizations that you're aware of.
Yes, I don't know that. I know money's still coming into the Community Foundation. And KLA, I know, raised over $2 million. The Working Ranch Cowboys Association raised money. There was a lot of very generous people from all over the country and people that sent personal things. There was one lady on Fifth Avenue in New York City that sent a check, and another lady from Massachusetts that wrote a nice letter and had no farming connection, but had seen it on Facebook. There's a lady from Illinois that has written us letters 4 or 5 times since the fire. That is so heartwarming to get something like that in the mail and know that somebody's still praying for you 7 months later.
So did you take advantage of the volunteers that came and helped, like, to build fence and tear out fence?
We did. We truly appreciated all the volunteers that came. You know, at first it was almost overwhelming because we didn't know. You kind of just don't even know what to do. I think with spring break time being right after the fire, we were able to get a lot more than other areas might have, or other times of the year you might have been able to. But we had FFA groups and Farm Bureau groups and church groups all come and spent countless hours rolling up fence, taking out fence, some of them building new fence.
So, did you have all ages too, besides FFA? Did you have a lot of older people come?
Yeah, we had a lot of adults.
Yep. And so, like, you were getting personal letters from people that came specifically to you that weren't being passed on from someone else. They wrote to you.
Yeah, that would just write and give us encouragement and let us know they were thinking of us.
Are there anything that you could do or should do to prepare for another fire? Or
I don't know that anybody could have prepared for this. There's no way to prepare for that massive amount of fire. One thing we do know is we've talked off and on through the years about sowing our wheat pasture back to grass because lots of our ground isn't good ground, but it makes good wheat pasture. Yeah. We will never do that. The wheat pasture is what saved us. If we hadn't had that, we would probably have nothing left.
So what about community organizations? Is there something that they could do to plan better for such a event?
Oh, I think Ashland should be so proud of itself, the way that community leaders stepped up and the Community Foundation was in place to start receiving money. The camp was in town. All the ladies and gentlemen that put in countless hours feeding and housing volunteers. This Holly Fast was able to basically quit her day job and coordinate so many thousands of people that were coming into our community. I would think our community would stand as an example for other communities going of what leadership looks like.
Yeah. So how are you getting along now? Are you, is the grass coming back up? Are you rebuilding stock? Are you getting a house or...
We are doing good. We had really good rains at the beginning of the summer, so we had grass and weeds that came back, but we have good cover going into winter. We turned off dry at the end of the summer, but we've had rains recently, so we're going to have good wheat pasture. Our home is being rebuilt. We are starting on drywall on Monday, so our goal is to be in by Christmas. Katie and Brett are hopefully going to start building by spring, and Molly and CJ are still hoping to start this fall. I'm not sure if they are how that's going to work out. Our office is kind of on hold right now, or on the back burner, I guess, until we decide specifically where to put it. And we started a new shop this week. So
have you made a lot of changes to where you have things?
Yes.
Buildings and stuff?
where the two hay sheds went down, we are not going to go back there. We're putting a machine shed closer to our yard, so it's easier to access to the grow yard. All the homes are going back in the same spots, but our office will probably be in a different spot now.
Yep. So what about your children? Have they been affected badly or good in a good way from all this? Or
I would say they are taking in as best they can. The little ones, that first month afterwards was tough because you constantly are surrounded by strangers. Mm-hmm. You have people in your space all the time. Gentry one night said, "Mom, could we please quit having parties?"
Oh, yeah.
She spent a lot of time up at my mom's because mom's house was quiet. And uh-huh. They would go spend the nights up there. Katie's kids were kind of similar, just needing their own space and not wanting to leave mom and dad. My boys have been champs. They've done really well. Peyton helped sift through lots of things at our house, and they've been done really well.
Did you find anything in the ashes of your house that you could keep?
We found a few things. We found some of the Happy Toy Maker toys, and my brother-in-law's sister took them back to the toy maker, and he repainted and repaired what he could. Trying to think. We have a concrete slab at our house, and we have a little pile of things that are left. And some of the pieces of glass and things we're going to use in a countertop in the new house. And
yeah. So is there anything that you remember of the fire that just was really weird to you or that you couldn't believe that that happened? That you can remember?
The only thing I just couldn't believe is I never thought my house would burn. I had time. I could have gone back and grabbed stuff. And while I was waiting on dad to go do something, I could have gone over and grabbed things. I could have gone to the office and grabbed things. But I just never thought the whole place would go. And that's...
So your first... when you first called people and asked about the fire, were they pretty nonchalant? I mean, it's not going to get to you or...
Oh, yeah, because it was down by Englewood.
Yeah.
That was 30, 40 miles away from us.
And when did you hear about the fire that was up north? That was west of you.
And
that's
so
the first you knew about that?
Yeah. As far as talking to people on the outside, I don't know that we really did that day.
You're too busy?
We were trying to move cattle, and I was on the phone some, but I don't remember. We knew firefighters couldn't come up, and... We were just trying to get cattle to wheat pasture and keep everybody safe, I guess.
Yep. So what about your meat business? Do you still
sell
online?
It's slowed down. I would say it is at a snail's pace right now because we just don't have the time to put into it.
Yeah, to go out and
We still have things for sale, just to market it well. It's kind of on a back burner right now.
So what's your biggest plan? I mean... What's the biggest thing that you're doing now?
Fencing has been our big thing all summer, and we're going to hopefully wrap up the majority of it this fall. And just reorganizing, getting a game plan for the future. We hope to have our cows restocked by 2019. That's our goal. Other than that... every day is a new challenge and a new opportunity. So we have a lot of opportunities to do things differently now.
Yep. So do you have any other thoughts about this experience that you'd like to share or anything?
I guess my take home of it, yes, it was sad to lose all that we lost, but seeing the goodness in people, making me want to be a better giver, to do more for others. People did so many really, truly kind and thoughtful things for my family. Being able to pay that forward someday. And I've never left Ashland to go halfway across the country and help someone. And I look forward to when my kids are a little bit older, being able to do something like that. And with that being said, plenty of people with kids lots younger than mine came out here and helped. And our whole family, even the boys, are looking forward to being able to go do good for others. And I think after all the political turmoil that went on, people were ready to focus on goodness and being giving and kind and loving your neighbor. And they loved us very, very well.
Anything else?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Sharing your experience. We really appreciate it.